on budget, June 15th.
And the first order of business on our agenda today is adoption of Senate Special Committee rules for the third special session of the 71st Legislative Assembly. Those rules are presented before the members of the committee, and the only thing that is underlined is on item 7, the affirmative vote of a majority of the members appointed is required, rather than two from the Senate and two from the House, or two from two Republicans or two Democrats, since a majority of the members appointed. So are there any questions on these rules? Is there any objection to the adoption of these rules? If not, the rules are so adopted. The agenda items for today, we are going to have a public hearing, first of all, on House Bill 5090, then a House Bill 4055, and then Senate Bill 1024, and House Bill 5091. And so we'll open the public hearing on House Bill 5090. Is that supposed to be 5 or 4? All right, we'll open the public hearing on House Bill 5090. Is there anyone signed up who would like to testify on House Bill 5090?
Democrats would like to send you home and get some sleep. Republicans will give like a fortune. Dogs.
Ms. Riocco, would you like to respond and say what House Bill 5090 is?
Yes, Mr. Chair. House Bill 5090 makes various technical adjustments to the disappropriation bill that the legislature passed during the last special session, the second special session in February. There are no additional budget reductions or restorations in this bill. They're just technical changes. Most of the changes are corrections and citations in statutes where we have to identify clearly the amounts or the section of law. There are some other changes in the bill that identify either establishment or an elimination of an expenditure limitation to implement the actions that were taken by the last legislature. And we have a budget report that I'll pass out to you.
Will you hand that out, please?
Yes,
I mean,
you don't care.
You're being very disruptive. I'm going to have to ask that you be removed.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I care more about staff. You do. His Red Wings won it all. You didn't even tell him congratulations.
I don't give a damn. He doesn't work hard enough. He's overpaid and underworked.
What the hell are we going to happen?
Okay, Mr. Rocco, do you want to go through this budget analysis?
Mr. Chair, the budget report identifies the two limitation changes in the bill. One is that for the Department of Administrative Services, a $7,500 increase in other funds limitation. Last session, that is reflected in the bill on the last page, page 16. Last session, there was a transfer allowed for the Department of Administrative Services to transfer $7.5 million to the Oregon Rural Health Association, and that was approved by the legislature. However, the limitation to allow DAS to complete that transfer was not included in the bill. So this fixes that by providing the Department of Administrative Services with the $7.5 million in other funds limitation.
So this transfers the money to the Rural Health Association?
This allows the department to have the limitation to do that transfer.
Okay.
It doesn't mandate the transfer at any specific time, but...
Okay.
The other change that's reflected in the budget report is lottery funds limitation decrease of $714,550. That was, in the second special session, the allocation of that money was eliminated in the second special session. However, accompanying the allocation, there was a necessary expenditure limitation decrease, and that was omitted. And so this will complete that transaction to decrease the limitation for the Department of Human Services. That's on page 4 of the bill, line 26.
Okay. Are there any questions of Mr. Rocco on House Bill 5090? If not, is there anyone again who would like to testify on House Bill 5090? That will close the public hearing on House Bill 5090. Open the public hearing on House Bill 4055. Mr. Rocco.
Mr. Olson is going to take that one.
Okay. Mr. Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. House Bill 4055, in its current form, does three things. It first assures the education service districts share equitably in an overall reduction in the state school fund when that happens. Second thing it does, it transfers $19 million from the Supplemental Employment Department Administrative Fund, commonly referred to as CDAP, to the general fund. With the understanding the Employment Department will replace these funds with $19 million from the $98 million Federal READ Act distribution that was received by the state earlier this year. And then the third thing it does, it provides for a one-time revenue transfer of $7 million from the Emergency Communications Account to the General Fund to help with the statewide budget rebalance plan. This is based on review of existing and projected telecommunications tax revenues and planned expenditures. This one-time transfer is not expected to adversely affect the program.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions of Mr. Olson by committee members? Not. Thank you, Mr. Olson. And we'll open up the testimony for House Bill 4055. Lisa Tressel, Jessica Harris, and Sean Miller. Why don't you all three come up?
They really hate this thing. They hate every day. They hate this thing. What happened? What they say is bad.
Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Lisa Tressel. I'm with Associated Oregon Industries, and we're here today in opposition of House Bill 4055. Particularly the provisions that take the money from the Supplemental Employment Department Administrative Fund and transfers it to the General Fund. Some of you may recall that this fund was created in 1991 when the state had problems getting money from the federal government to fund the employment services. So for about 3 years, there was a tax put on an additional tax on the employer's payroll tax to create a pool of $234 million. That money's been invested, and that's what funds the CDAP program. As you're well aware, Oregon has the highest unemployment rate in the nation, even though it fell to, I think, 7.3 just recently. It was up to 8. And we believe it's important to protect that fund and keep that money in there so that we don't have to increase payroll taxes in the future by taking money that has been repaid to us by the federal government that we have sent them and that they haven't sent back to us in the past. So we'd like to protect that fund, and for those reasons we oppose 4055. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jessica Harris. I'm here today on behalf of the Associated General Contractors. largely echo what you've just heard from Lisa Trussell. AGC and its members are very concerned at the precedent that this was set in taking a fund that was set aside for a specific purpose, forward-thinking, prudent management of employer-paid taxes in order to prevent any loss of services or any raising of taxes in a time where certainly it is disadvantageous for everyone, given our unemployment rate. We would urge this committee to, at a minimum, remove sections 4 and sections 9 of 4055, as this is before you. We thank you very much for your consideration.
Can I ask a question of either Lisa or Jesse? Using this, these are interest funds that have been derived out of excise tax. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
Is this likened to taking the $80 million in 1982 from SAFE? Those important contributions.
Well, I wasn't here in 1982, and I didn't research that one, but it's clearly dangerous. We've had other purposes where they've wanted to use this money, and they're good purposes, but it's always been something because of the fact that we had to borrow from the federal government several years ago, and that was a very ugly situation, as I understand it. Kind of want to protect this for what it's for, and you want that money there when you're in an economy like we are right now, and employers can't afford to have an increase at this point. So
what you're saying is if this fund were to be drawn down, it would have a potential effect of increasing the rate for employers, number one. Number two, it would potentially place the state in a position of having to borrow from the federal government later down the road.
It clearly would put us in a position where taxes would have to go up, payroll taxes.
Are there questions by committee members of any of the two who have spoken? Sean?
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Sean Miller, I represent the Oregon Grocery Industry Association. We are, too, very concerned with House Bill 4055, specifically sections 4 and 9 of the bill that take the CDF funds and backfill the general fund. Not to repeat what my colleagues have said, but it is with the highest unemployment rate, and in the situation that Oregon is in the grocery store industry, we're at a 1% margin, and we can't afford potentially to raise our rates in the future, and so we strongly oppose this rate on the CDF funds, and would urge that you oppose this particular sections of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions by committee members? No, thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone who would like to testify? Is there anyone from the Employment Division here? Mr. Olson, could you identify if we have Attorney General's advice that says it's all right to borrow these funds or steal these funds if we take them, and if we use $19 million, it isn't going to cost us $50 million to return $19 million?
Mr. Chair, I don't have any information from the Attorney General. The Legislative Council has drafted this language, and by that, I'm assuming that it's okay if we rely on their advice. With regard to your second question, the Employment Department, and I have this information I can provide to the committee members, the Employment Department and I and DAS sat down and did some analysis of what impact this $19 million would have on the state unemployment tax rates over the next 3 years. We, for 2002, are just as a matter of information, there are 8 schedules, tax schedules, for unemployment taxes. Currently, for 2002, the state is in schedule number 3.
Mr. Chair, if we could...
Senator Gardner?
Just for a moment, you're referring to a document that you have...
They don't have this document. Could you hand it out?
I'll be glad to get copies of it.
Okay, it would, for those of us who are visual,
Thank you.
During the last session, the testimony was, and based on the economic forecast, that for 2003, the tax rate would go up to Schedule 4. The Employment Department has indicated that with the $98 million READ Act distribution that was received earlier this year, and that would put the state right in the middle of Schedule 4 and not risk going up to Schedule 5. The analysis that has been done, and I'll be glad to provide this to the committee, indicates that even with the $19 million withdrawal from CDAF, that tax schedule will not change through at least the year 2005, based on the economic forecast that was received in June. Anything more than the $19 million would push the state closer to going up into Schedule 5. If $19 million or less would keep it in Schedule 4 for at least the next three calendar years.
I don't like this at all.
Okay. Would it be possible to also go back to legislative council that drafted these amendments in the first place and ask legislative council to draft amendments that would remove those sections, these two sections from the bill?
Okay.
Because I think it's inappropriate to steal other people's money. They prosecute you in the private sector, in the government it's called borrowing.
This committee isn't, we're not going to steal this committee, are we?
No.
My God.
Thou shalt not steal.
We're not going to steal.
You taught me right.
That's right, man. You won't be stealing.
I'm blaming my pig.
Oh, is your pig about ready to fly?
I'm not, just chaining down.
Okay. All right. Is there anyone else who wants to testify on House Bill 4055? That will close the hearing on House Bill 4055. Open the hearing on Senate Bill 1024.
Okay, what the heck were they thinking?
Mr. Bender.
What were they thinking when they did this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate Bill 1024 modifies legislative approval for a capital project of the Oregon University System. During the last regular legislative session, you approved a $20 million project to remodel and add, make additions to the library inside of Oregon University. What Senate Bill 1024 does is it increases in total approval, the size of the project, $23 million, and allows certificates of participation to be used to finance the project.
I would like to explain this bill.
Yeah.
This bill was introduced at my request. And Senator, before you hyperventilate, this bill is a provision that was enacted in the last regular session that created a $20 million fund. $10 million general fund obligation, $5 million of lottery, and $5 million of fundraising effort at the Southern Oregon University campus. This, all it does is expand it an additional $3 million to allow fundraising to continue to raise three additional million dollars, and it allows the use of certificates of participation that will be paid for by the contributions that are received by the university. I'd be happy to respond to any questions that anyone has. Senator Courtney, do you have a question?
Hannon, I don't believe you doing this to me. I have no questions, Supreme Being. I have no questions.
At least you recognize I'm the Supreme Being. Is there any other comments? Is there anyone who would like to testify on this bill?
Are you going to Mass tomorrow?
Am I going to Mass tomorrow? Yeah. I'm going to Mass tonight.
Prove your soul.
If not, we'll close the hearing on House, Senate Bill 1024, and open the work session on Senate Bill 1024. The chair would move Senate Bill 1024 unamended to the floor of the Senate when they do pass recommendation. Is there a discussion?
We're carrying it.
I'm carrying it. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? If not, it's been so approved. I'll carry it. Okay, now we'll open the hearing on House Bill 1581. Mr. Rocco.
That's old style politics right there. It ain't getting any better than that, buddy. It ain't getting any better than that. I know that Deb Spock's taught you everything, taught you well.
Okay.
Well, I was there, so.
Mr. Rocco. Mr. Chair, House Bill 5091 is the bill that makes the adjustments to budgets that are necessary to complete the House plan for the rebalance of the budget. We're passing out to you a set of materials that includes a selective program reduction list that totals about roughly $33 million in cuts, plus the $20 million in CDOF money. We're also passing out an across-the-board cut that totals approximately $47 million, which is roughly about 1% of most agencies' budgets. The across-the-board was done by holding K-12 harmless, so there's no reduction to K-12. In that bill, the rest of the remaining reductions were spread across all other agencies receiving general fund. The bill also includes, anticipates revenue from a variety of sources, including $180 million from the Education Stability Fund, net proceeds of approximately $107 million to the state from a cigarette tax increase. It uses $87 million in tobacco settlement funds, $19 million from the CDAF transfer. It draws the ending balance down by $48 million. There's a $22 million disappropriation from the General Purpose Emergency Fund, and it includes a transfer of approximately $750,000 from the Racing Commission due to increased revenues from the Racing Commission. As I mentioned, the bill includes reductions to state agency budgets by approximately $33 million in selective spending, $47 million across the board. The bill also includes approximately $15 million in reductions due to anticipated savings from a bill that was being discussed last night to change the PERS mortality table. That bill did not pass, so there's a $15 million problem in this bill. Also included is the distribution of the $100 million in salary money that was appropriated to the emergency board. So the bill disappropriates that money from the emergency board and then allocates it to agencies based on the recommendations of the Department of Administrative Services. Associated with that are other funds increases and federal funds increases for salary increases related to those funding sources. There are also several special purpose appropriations that agencies had requested to be allocated at the June 28th meeting of the emergency board. Those requests are included in here in order to relieve the emergency board workload. So those special purpose appropriations are disappropriated here and then reappropriated to the agencies. We also provide you with a draft copy of the budget report that we have to date. And this is a not incomplete budget report because this bill was passed out of the House last night at somewhere around 2:15 or so in the morning. So the budget report is not complete. We're continuing to work on it. to include the more details in the narrative portion of that report. The bill itself is complicated because the changes in the bill represent the net effect of all of these things that I've just discussed with you. So it's a net of the salary adjustment increases, the selective deduction decreases, the across-the-board decreases, the PERS decreases, and the emergency board increases. And so the bill reflects the net of all those changes.
Okay, thank you for your explanation. Are there any questions of Mr. Rocco? Senator Courtney.
Thank you. Ken, where's the 1145 money? Is that it? Is there 1145 cutting it? You know what I mean? You know what that program is?
Corrections.
I can't tell.
Mr. Chair, Senator Courtney, I believe it's on the second page, DOC line. It says eliminate remaining inflation in community corrections. Approximately $1.6 million.
That's in addition to what we did in the...
That represents half of the remaining amount.
So what did we do last special session then? Could you refresh my memory?
Approximately $1 million was reduced.
So we've added another $500,000, is that what you're saying?
No, you've added another $1.6 million to that.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Gordley.
Mr. Rocco, I'm looking at the selective program reductions. I'm in the human services section. And I'm looking at the third item. That's a cut? The elimination of the Office of Multicultural Health?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, yes, that's a $75,000 reduction through the Office of Multicultural Health and the Senate Bill 790 interpreters. We can get more information to you on that, but it appears that there is a possible fund shift that could be to offset some of that cut.
Was there any discussion, Mr. Chair, Mr. Rocco, on the House side of unintended consequences of not providing interpreters and not having the capacity to provide interpreters in certain hearings? Would we be open to civil rights lawsuits?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, I don't know if there was specifically to that issue. However, the group that came up with these cuts discussed all of them at length and got as much information as they could on consequences and realized that there are significant cuts in this list and that would cause problems in many areas. So I don't know specifically about that one item, however.
Continually.
Yes, Senator Gordley.
Mr. Rocco, in the education category, can you tell me what's happening with Oregon Pre-K?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, the Oregon Pre-Kindergarten program was requesting a $2.4 million allocation of a special purpose appropriation to the emergency board at the June 28th meeting. And as I mentioned, this bill incorporates some of those actions. So in the bill itself, you'll see a disappropriation of the $2.4 million from the emergency board, and then it is allocated to the Department of Ed for that program. So that was taken care of.
Moving to another area, Mr. Chair, natural resources, Mr. Rocco.
Yes.
Can you tell us where is there funding for the Lower Columbia River Estuary Program in this budget?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, there's a reduction of $54,000 which is the general fund support for the Lower Columbia River Estuary Project, included in this reduction list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just need some time to study what's here. Thank you.
Yeah, I can assure the committee there is no final action that's going to be taken on this measure today. As a matter of fact, there's discussions going on that may, in fact, either reduce or change the amount of the reductions predicated on discussions that are going on. So I want the committee members and our other colleagues to be able to look at these numbers and try to get a basis of understanding that some of these things are subject to changes. Senator Corky.
First of all, I didn't mean to. I think we all know Ken and his staff are here at 5:30 this morning. They've been putting in human hours, so the only reason I asked the question about 11:45. And I don't expect an answer. Now, I thought when we passed that legislation in the 95 general session, then we did more to it in the 96 special session. I think we held a special session on 11:45. We actually entered into some kind of written agreement with the counties as to how much we would fund that. And I'd like to, if we can get some background information, not now on that, Larry, because
not providing interpreters and not having the capacity to provide interpreters in certain hearings, we would be open to civil rights lawsuits.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gormley, I don't know if there was specifically to that issue. However, the group that came up with these cuts discussed all of them at length and got as much information as they could on the consequences and realized that there are significant cuts in this list and they would cause problems in many areas. So I don't know specifically about that one item, however.
Continue.
Yes, Senator Rodney.
Mr. Rocco, in the education category, can you tell me what's happening with Oregon Pre-K?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gormley, the Oregon Pre-Kindergarten program was requesting a $2.4 million allocation of a special purpose appropriation to the emergency board at the June 28th meeting. And as I mentioned, this bill incorporates some of those actions. So in the bill itself, you'll see a disappropriation of the $2.4 million from the emergency board, and then it is allocated to the Department of Ed for that program. So that was taken care of.
Moving to another area, Mr. Chair, natural resources, Mr. Rocco. Can you tell me where is there funding for the Lower Columbia River Estuary Program in this budget?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, there's a reduction of $54,000, which is the general fund support for the Lower Columbia River Estuary Project, included in this reduction list.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just need some time to study what's here. Thank you.
Yeah, I can assure the committee there is no final action that's going to be taken on this measure today. As a matter of fact, there's discussions going on that may, in fact, either reduce or change the amount of the reductions predicated on discussions that are going on. So I want the committee members and our other colleagues to be able to look at these numbers and try to get a basis of understanding that some of these things are subject to changes. Senator Corky.
First of all, I didn't mean to. I think we all know Ken and his staff are here at 5:30 this morning. They've been putting in human hours, so The only reason I asked the question about 1145, and I don't expect an answer now, I thought when we passed that legislation in the 95 general session, then we did more to it in the 96 special session, I think we had a special session on 1145, we actually entered into some kind of written agreement with the counties as to how much we would fund that. And to, and I'd like to, if we can get some background information, not now, on that, Larry, because I like, we did come up with, we almost, I was boilerplate, but we did more than we said. You remember the program said we'd send it to anybody for a year or less, or less than a year, into the counties would accept them, you know, kept us from having to build as many prison things, we would always be there for them to a certain amount of money. That whole thing, I think we need to know exactly what we're doing with these cuts in terms of that contractual thing. I hope, Mr. Chair, we can get that.
Mr. Chair, if I could offer anything on this list, the committee needs more information on, we'd be glad to provide that if you just note it on the list and give it to us. We'll get back to you with that information.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions by committee members? Well, we're going to open up a public hearing on House Bill 1591. Larry, would you like to turn this up here? Bruce Bishop.
Ryan, should I go see him then? Oh, no. He wants this.
Bruce, welcome to Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bruce Bishop. I'm the legislative director for the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems. I'd like to bring to your attention our concern that within the budget reductions is a proposal that would reduce hospital DRG payments for fee-for-service hospitals and eliminate by half DRG outlier payments. It's a combination reduction of approximately $3 million. Our concern with that proposal is that it disproportionately affects certain hospital systems because of the availability of managed care in the communities or because of the way that managed care and fee-for-service works at a specific hospital. That impacts specific communities disproportionately, and even though it's a $3 million cut, when you add federal matching funds to that, it multiplies significantly and will result in a serious underfunding of hospital services for specific systems. We have surveyed our large hospital members to get their assessment of the impact of this reduction, and it disproportionately affects Oregon Health Science University, the Providence Health System, the Legacy Health System, and the Asante Health System in Southern Oregon. We would urge the committee to consider opportunities to restore those cuts to assure that there's adequate coverage for hospital care in the Oregon Health Plan.
Thank you. Are there any questions by committee members?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bartley.
Thank you. Mr. Bishop, does this cut in any way affect the ability to capture or maximize federal dollars?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gordley, yes it does. The $3 million general fund cut will result in the loss of approximately $4.5 million in federal matching funds.
Thank you.
All right. Are there further questions? Thank you, Bruce.
Senator.
Chuck Craig and Don Schellenberg. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to speak to you. We wanted to raise a precautionary note for you on one of the general fund budget reductions that's still showing on the selective program reduction sheets for the Department of Agriculture of $93,484. And just realized I had forgot to introduce myself for the record. I'm Chuck Craig, Deputy Director for the Department of Agriculture. There is a reduction showing here for our marketing program. That was one of two reductions that was originally at issue on House side, we understood from leadership that they were both going to be restored in the bill that came over to the Senate side. And the $93,000 item is still showing as a reduction, and I just wanted to point that out on the record so that it's there.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Don Schoenberg, Associate Director of Government Affairs for the Oregon Farm Bureau, here to support restoration of that $93,000. Oregon agriculture is a significant part of Oregon's economy. We export 80% of the product that we grow in Oregon is exported out of the state. 50% of that is exported internationally. And the marketing division, the Oregon Department of Agriculture, plays a significant role in paving the way for those exports. This is a crucial time for agriculture. I was talking to one of the farmers the other day, and he was telling me, he says, I don't know, we've seen such an economic hardship in the agriculture community since the Depression. We are looking for crops to grow. Processors have left the state. They're just, it's very discouraging right now. And to make a reduction in the budget in the marketing division, which is exactly the program that we need, we think would be a real mistake. The Oregon Farm Bureau House of Delegates, 100 strong, votes on issues. We have policies. We'll just read you just a couple lines of a policy here. It says the state budget should reflect a responsible fiscal attitude with an emphasis on minimizing unnecessary or non-productive programs and strengthening those programs which will enhance the economics of the state. This is one of those programs. We'd highly encourage you and strongly encourage you to restore that $93,000. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Schoenberg, would the Farm Bureau also endorse an income tax increase to support this program?
Mr. Chairman, our position at this point is not to increase taxes. That would be counterproductive.
Oh, but it's okay to not cut, but it's not okay to raise revenue.
Mr. Chairman, we believe there are non-productive programs where cuts could be made. This is a productive program that stimulates the economy, and so this should not be made.
Thank you. Senator Harper.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chuck, my narrative says this money is replaced with federal funds. What's the
Mr. Chair, Senator Harper, the concept was that, if you recall, several months ago, we received a federal grant from USDA that provided for $3.1 million for specialty crop promotion, and most of Oregon agricultural production is specialty crop production in the sense that the crops are not, most of them are not federally supported farm programs. So the federal grant provided for 3% of the grant amount could be used to support administration. What this is proposing is that we take that 3% and backfill administration of our marketing program with that. We have already spent this money.
Okay, that's okay. I just want to make sure that's clear. Thank you.
Further questions? No, thank you both.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there anyone else who would like to testify on House Bill 1591? Benton? Patty? Come on up. Okay, we'll bring you up in a moment.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Gravin Cairns, Director of Government Relations at the Oregon University System. In the more in the matter of a in the manner of a status report, as you deliberate on this bill, the approximately $11 million, which would be subtracted from the legislatively approved budget for the Oregon University System. When added to the some $43 million, which was subtracted from the legislatively approved budget for the Oregon University System in the special session earlier, things are a reduction in general fund support to close to 7%.
May Martin, can I ask you on this, if we appropriate, like the House did, if we appropriate the $100 million for salaries, $21 million of that is for the OUS system, and then we reduce it, is that just a inline scheme to balance OUS out? I don't want to put you in difficult, but I'm going to answer the question.
Thank you, Mr.
I know you're a straightforward guy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The net effect of the reductions which come from the resource allocation model, both in the first special session and then as proposed in 5091, would net from the legislatively approved budget, which was predicated upon our approximately $21 million in the compensation package, a reduction of 6.75% net. So the net effect is to back up from the legislatively approved budget for the university system by about 6.75%, close to 7%. Then, of course, I would remind you, Mr. Chairman, that that legislatively approved budget did not recognize approximately 3/4 of our Oregon resident enrollment growth that was budgeted. It was budgeted and acknowledged in the budget, not supported. So 3/4 of the enrollment which has come to us in new enrollment from Oregon residents is unrecognized in the legislatively approved budget, and then from that we have subtracted approximately 7%. So we have many, many, many thousands of students, in addition to the fact we've got tens of millions of dollars in lost support, who are unsupported by the state as they pursue a university degree.
Does this potentially put the Board of Higher Education at a risk of having to raise tuition?
Mr. Chairman,
to meet these demands?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. As you know, you and I and others agreed in the second special session that if you did not subtract beyond what you did, the 1.65% reduction in the resident undergraduate cell values, we would not see resident undergraduate tuition increase. We have given a letter to the emergency board giving notice that the potential for non-resident and graduate tuition increase as a result of the special session action in the second special session may require that, and we'll come forward at the e-board to discuss that. We also said in that letter that depending upon the actions of this third special session, we might have to, if the legislature were to back up from its position regarding support for undergraduate residents, or we might have to come forward and ask for an increase in resident undergraduate also. But that's not on the table today until you act.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Have me hang on just a second. Bob Kisagni, would you come up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, Bob Castagna representing the Oregon Catholic Conference. There are three other individuals with us who would also like to testify. Mr. Chair, we're at a slight disadvantage, and we mean no disrespect to you or to legislative staff who have worked innumerable hours. But we are at a disadvantage in that we don't know what the House passed yesterday. We have no budget report. We have no idea of what impact has been visited on DHS services. There were budget reports or proposed cuts that were out yesterday that indicated employment-related daycare was being cut in two different instances, that staff was not being added to administer the TANF program, medical assistance, food stamps. We're advocates for the people who are vulnerable. We have no idea what programs have been cut at this point. And this Senate committee in a special session is dealing with this terribly important matter under difficult time constraints. But if we who are here in this building have no idea what is being cut, then I imagine the general public is equally disadvantaged. So we would ask for your indulgence in that we, other than being advocates for the vulnerable, have no idea what cuts are being visited on human services.
Well, we share in that, and that's the reason we're not taking any final action today or probably tomorrow. It will probably be sometime Monday when this is all sorted out, because amendments were flying back and forth last night and into this morning into the House committees like butterflies, and it was hard to net which one was being adopted and which one wasn't. And so I can assure you the Senate does not act on that same speed. So we are going to be more deliberative. We're going to look at the issues. We're going to see what the budget reductions are, what they mean, what they occur to people, and this is going to be an open and deliberative process, and you will be invited back to add your comments.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Patty?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I wanted to set a little context, certainly add my voice to that, that we are unaware of some of the specifics. We knew what the broader proposals were originally. I had distributed to you copies of our Hunger Headlines 2002. Our concern with the task force is that in the last special session, Human Services took a very big hit. All of those programs, especially in the support services cuts, impact a family's ability to put food on their table and provide for their families. By that becoming a concern for them, it makes it very hard for them to move forward, to advance in any kind of rational way. Sometimes it forces people into irrational things like having to beg, borrow, and steal. We're very concerned that we're continuing in that direction with these additional cuts to human services. They're significant. They're in the bone. May I just point out in this Hunger Headlines report three things for you, three of the charts that show the impact already on low-income families before we add these cuts. The income gap is widening between those at the lowest income and the highest income. Yet in the last special session, almost all of the cuts were taken at the lower end. So those same people are not making progress in wages, are being hurt with support service cuts that help provide them the opportunity to advance forward. Secondly, the chart at the bottom about declining business tax burden. My concern is that while we're asking individuals to make sacrifices, and I know we're in a recession, we have to be careful about how we treat business, at the very least, we ought to be looking at this disconnect between the federal government and our state on this last tax break for them. There's got to be some request of some sacrifice on all of our behalf in order to make this a good place to live and to solve our budget crisis. We're very concerned, again, that most of the cuts and most of the burden is being put on our lowest income. And again, if you look at the back page, if we ever get to the place again where we're looking at a surcharge on income, which the task force would support at this point because of the need for the support service programs to help people get through the recession and move forward, our concern would be that since the tax burden right now is the highest on the lowest income people in our state, that if we look at a surcharge, that it's got to be exempting those at the lowest end. And the reason I bring the tax proposals up here is because that's the only way we're going to get to some of the social services restorations that we need, as opposed to the cuts in the budget. We really appreciate all of your hard work. We really appreciate that you're being deliberative and not just rushing this through. And we just hope that you will continue to remember many of the cuts made in the last special session hurt very badly, and we need to protect those programs this time around. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do they have access to the sheets that we are looking at?
No, they do not.
They should have.
Yeah, we would love to have a copy of that.
Why don't they have access to this?
Those are available. They've been publicly distributed. They're in legislative fiscal. Can you provide copies?
Can we have copies, Mr. Chair, brought down to the hearing room? It would be nice.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. All right. Further comments? Thank you all very much.
For the record, my name is Philip Long, Director of Public Policy for Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I too share, Patty's and Bob's sentiments. It's been difficult for us as advocates for the most vulnerable to get accurate information, and I want to thank you very much for proceeding at a cautious speed to allow us to be able to find out exactly what programs that are being looked at as per cuts. What I can say from what I don't know, but what I do know as far as Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon is concerned is that our food program that we run in Northeast Portland, we've seen an increase in people using the program. It's approximately serving 1,500 people a month. And the food program is only open for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. And what we're finding is that a lot of the people who access the food house program that we have are new people. There are people who are looking for work, there are people who are also employed, and they're also senior citizens. So we have seen, poverty increase, and we're also concerned as a nonprofit that provides direct services to those most needy that we don't have the capacity to take on additional, caseload of folks needing help. Just the other day, in fact, just yesterday, I've been actually going back and forth between the United Methodist Conference, which is taking place next door at Willamette University, and they had passed a resolution of their 800 member conference members advocating for no more cuts to some of the safety net programs. And we urge you to look at the letter that they drafted yesterday, and also the letter that was drafted from our executive director, David Leslie. Thank you very much.
Thank you. David, did you want to make any comments?
I'll pass, but I believe that would be wise.
Yes.
Now that we've seen this.
Now you can really tell us.
As of yesterday afternoon, and I did not stay until 2 in the morning, but as of yesterday afternoon, food stamp outreach had been taken off of the cut list. It's back on again. Wanted to alert you to that. This is a particularly onerous provision to us because if we're going to cut these other services, we have to at least make sure people have food on their table. And it was already reduced 60.
Let me emphasize, we're going to have all weekend to study this, know exactly what was, what isn't, and what might have been. And so, although you may read it at this point,
all right,
I wouldn't certainly take it to the bank, okay?
Right.
In fact, the bank closed till Monday. All right.
Fine, if I had known this, I certainly would have said something when I was up here.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Bob? Yes.
Oh, okay.
Senator?
Thank you. Will your committee meet on Monday then to address some of the concerns after they have had a chance to study it?
We will meet after discussions take place again this weekend.
Okay.
And as has been stated from day one, this is going to be a proposal that is enacted in the Senate that is a bipartisan proposal. And we're not ramming it down anybody, and it's not going to be done in the dark of night, and it's not going to be done at 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay?
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Bob?
If I could add one more comment again for the record, Bob Castagna, Oregon Catholic Conference. So we join in the testimony offered to you by Patty Whitney Wise. We had heard yesterday the food stamp cut, the outreach cut, was off the table, and now it's back in the list, so we express surprise and opposition to that cut. There's the employment-related daycare one, limiting it to families under 150% of federal poverty level. People are expected to get out of poverty. They need to be able to work. They need the assistance, so we object to that cut. We also object to not adding caseload staff for TANF medical food stamp caseload increases. This is a state with the highest unemployment rate in the nation, trying to assist people to get back to work, to get out of poverty, and to lift themselves and their poverty in dignity out of poverty. These are, we believe, counteractive and counterproductive cuts, and we would ask the restoration of all of those three programs.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Yes. Gordon? Adams? Paul?
record, Warden Falls Association of Warden Counties, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we share a lot of the sentiments you've already heard. We, as your local government providers, if you will, of a number of services, are concerned about the cuts we're trying to go through now, the new list we just received. Understand that, but my understanding is that House Bill 5091 incorporates not just these changes, but DHS rebalance issues and some other issues, and we're trying to siphon out everything to see what happened, because it appears, for instance, in some of our areas, alcohol and drug, public health, mental health, that there are some major cuts that have occurred beyond what we're seeing just on the list. And we'll try to spend the weekend, appreciate the bank not being open until we have a chance to take a look at it. Our concern, however, comes to not just what we have lost, because we're in a place where many counties are laying off employees as we speak, and we don't know what we're going to have to advise after this special session. But we're also in a place looking at legislation that's requiring us, for instance, to do mental health planning, and understanding that that cut has taken place somewhere in this system. So if that has occurred, we have no money to plan, no money to do services. We still have legislation requiring us to do that at a time when we're laying off employees to just do the normal caseload. So we would like to see if there's any chance, if we cannot find a way to reinstate that, to at least eliminate the requirement at this point, because we cannot afford to do it. I mean, that's quite frankly where we are. So that's just another consideration. It goes beyond just the cuts. It goes to the legislation that requires us to do various things. So I wanted to put that on the record, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Harper, you readdress that legislation?
Yes.
Can you give us some information on what legislation you'd like us to hold?
It's House Bill 3024.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
We support the bill. I don't want to get me wrong about that, but we are concerned that it's a mandate without funding the minute this money goes. Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Bradley.
Thank you. The witness brings up an excellent point, and I think there's also another question or another concern that you can help the committee with. One of my concerns is that we need, as we're analyzing the budget, we need to be very clear about where we may be jeopardizing our capacity to leverage federal dollars. And as we look at the materials we have in front of us now, it isn't clear where we may be jeopardizing federal dollars. We heard one instance already from someone who testified earlier that we can see a loss of several million dollars in the educational arena. But we need some way of looking at that piece of information as we're looking at these different budget categories and the budget options.
And Mr. Chair, Senator Gorley, we will be glad to take a careful look at what we see happening here with respect to the potential of loss of federal dollars. I think the other thing, as you well know,